Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Shot clock at three. Butler with Brogdon on him. It's a long three. And good! Jimmy freaking Butler puts it in!
Jimmy freaking Butler. He is a bad, bad man. Miami continues their playoff dominance, taking game one in Boston. So Perk tells us why it's time to stop sleeping on the Miami Heat. Plus, Jason Tatum is the latest star this postseason to wobble a bit in the fourth quarter. Richard Jefferson dives into the superstar disappearing acts. And from the east to the west, is it a must-win tonight for Los Angeles? No. Why Michael Malone isn't worried about the Lakers' late-game adjustments they made on Jokic? NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. We have Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson, Malika Andrews with you. The Heat, they were big underdogs coming into last night's game, but that really hasn't mattered to Jimmy Butler.
Not for Perk. Perk picked them last night.
Yeah, sure did.
We're going to get into Perk's magical predictions. I was trying to do some alliteration there,
Perk's picks.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Perk's perfect.
No, we're going to start in the fourth quarter here because the Miami Heat, they dropped a playoff franchise record, 46 points, Perk, in the quarter.
On time, on target. You know the great thing that I saw about the Miami Heat? They beat the Boston Celtics at their own game by pushing the pace. They did not give them opportunity to get set on the defense.
Come on, Max. Don't mess up that assist, homie.
Jimmy finds Bam Adebayo.
Jimmy just does it all. Look, Jimmy's so impressive because it's like we act like Jimmy isn't like crazy talented or crazy skilled. Jimmy has all of the abilities, all the skills. And look, Mazzulla's tired of it. I'm with you, Joe.
I ain't believe that little fake temper tantrum.
This is the quarter where everything changed, Perk.
Absolutely. And look, Jimmy Butler, not depending on anyone, making the right play, relocating, knocking down the corner three. And all the Celtics are doing right there is bad body language and complaining while the Miami Heat is busting at you-know-what.
Do you know what I like about the Miami Heat is that, without a doubt, you know they are following one person. They are going as Jimmy goes, and they all fall in line. The Boston Celtics, these turnovers from JT, it was just tough to watch a player that's been so on fire here. And even here, he questioned it. We go to the replay. His left foot was 2 inches off the ground. What are you talking about?
But was it a careless turnover or a forced turnover by Caleb Martin? I think that was a forced turnover.
I agree.
In the fourth quarter, though, for Jason Tatum when it mattered the most. And here, Jimmy Butler. This was the call. Jimmy freaking Butler. Game high, 35 points for him. Let's take a listen to Jimmy, Himmy, however you want to call him after the game.
How does this feel to you guys, what you have done so far? And if you go back all the way to that night against Chicago in the play-in, did you think then that something like this would be possible?
Damn right. I did. Damn right. We did. And the best part about it is we still don't care what none of y'all think. Honestly speaking, we don't care if you pick us to win. We never have. We never will. We know the group of guys we have in this locker room. We know that Coach Spo puts so much confidence and belief in each and every one of us, Coach Pat as well. And so our circle's small, but this circle got so much love for one another. We pump constant confidence into everybody. And we go out there and we hoop. We play basketball the right way, knowing that we always got a chance.
So Jimmy, he averaged just under 23 points per game during the regular season, but then he's taken his game to another level in the playoffs, putting up 31.5 points per game. That's similar to the Heat as a team. They were last in the NBA in scoring in the regular season, but look how much better they have been in the postseason. So I know Jimmy said, I don't care if y'all pick me, but Perk, your playoff perfect Perk picks continues. You picked the Miami Heat in game one. Is it time that everyone just needs to stop sleeping on them?
Well, the last time I checked, is four teams that are still playing right now.
That's
and
correct.
The Miami Heat is one of them. And they're up 1-0. They are a legit championship caliber team. When you look at how they play with agenda-free basketball. They're disciplined on the defensive side of things. So what makes up a championship team? Let's go down the checklist, okay? Let's go down the list. They have shooting. Max Strus, Duncan Robinson, Gabe Vincent could get hot. Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love. Okay, when you talk about interior defense, Kevin Love taking charges, Bam Adebayo blocking shots, being able to defend out on the perimeter. When you talk about leadership, they have that. And Udonis Haslam, Kevin Love, and Kyle Lowry, both of those guys are champions. Jimmy Butler is leading on the floor. They have the best coach in basketball. They have one of the best defensive teams in basketball. They lead the league in charge taken. So my thing is, what else we need to see out of them? They have everything and more to go and win the championship, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
I have no disagreement with what Perk is saying, because when you look at it now, we can be respectfully honest in saying talent level, not saying that these guys aren't all pros, but you would look at Boston and saying that Boston has a little bit more talent, a little bit more depth. Now, I understand that there are people out, like no Tyler Hero, but Perk is right. When you look at this team, where are they lacking? They're not lacking in shooting. They're not lacking in coaching. They outworked the New York Knicks. That's something that we don't see from a Tibbs team, from a New York team. Awesome. They outworked them. They out-hustled them. And then they've just been shooting the ball well. And I'll say this in my meeting with Eric Spoelstra before game six. He's like, look, we're probably a four seed. We had a ton of injuries. We don't look at ourselves like an eight seed. We don't look at that. We have experience. We are a team that is probably top four. So that's where we feel like we're playing. So this is not anything new. They don't feel like they're an underdog. They just feel like they're going out doing what they're supposed to.
But I think, can I ask both of y'all a question? When we say that the other teams that are still playing, like the team that they're going against, they have more talent. Mm. Is that the truth?
Yes.
Why though? Because is it the truth because of what guys were drafted at in the position?
No.
Because what I'm looking at is Caleb Martin is a hooper. Martin is a hooper. And I'm looking at him and I'm looking at Derrick White and I'm like,
right,
to bring the same thing to
But I think
yes,
when you're looking at, okay, you're talking about an all NBA talents, when you're talking about people in the MVP discussions, but, and we say oftentimes, right, in the playoffs, and you guys know this better than I do, you've actually been out there, you've won, you're champions, you say that talent wins out. But also hustle and heart have a little bit to say in that conversation, and I think that's where Richard's coming
from. Yeah, and I'm not talking about, like, the undrafted part, but let's just talk about individual accolades in the last 2 years. You got two-time All-NBA first-team guy in Jason Tatum. You got All-NBA guy in Jaylen Brown. You got Defensive Player of the Year last year in Marcus Smart. You got multiple All-Defensive players when you're talking about Malcolm Brogdon just won the Sixth Man of the Year. So I'm not saying awards dictate talent. I'm saying when you look at the collection of players on the Boston Celtics, they should play better than what they have been playing.
And I agree, but this is what I'm saying. All those guys that you name, they was given the opportunity from day one since they came into the league.
And sometimes.
And now, right, all of a sudden, these guys that we're seeing on the Miami Heat are finally getting their chance. Mm.
Well, and sometimes when you feel like you have something to prove, that's when the dog comes out. That's when like, no one picked me to be here. Well, I'm going to show you why. It was just a happenstance thing, but I do love it when he does that. All right, you guys mentioned the Boston Celtics. Let's take a listen to Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown after the game.
You know, you still got to play the game. You still got to make plays regardless of, you know, you're home or on the way. You know, the court is the same. It's one ball, three reps, two baskets, you know. So, you know, I don't have an exact answer why we 500 at home. You know, we just got to be better.
We came out too cool. Like, it was just almost like we was just playing a regular season game. Like, it's the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, come on, we got to play with more intensity than we did today. And we just got to be better, including me.
Oh, okay, ladies and gentlemen. And now look, last night we saw something that's been kind of a reoccurring. First of all, can we have a moment for the fit? Ooh, okay, not Perk. Let's keep it here. But we've seen a lot of different things, right, over this postseason. And we've seen a lot of great, elite, best of the best struggling in the fourth quarter. We got James Harden, Julius Randle, All-NBA, led the league in assists, MVP, top three MVP. Anthony Davis, one of the most talented guys in this league. And we've seen them disappear in the fourth quarter, doing very uncharacteristic things, because the fourth quarter, and what's beautiful about basketball, the fourth quarter is where the stars are. That's where you make your name. That's where you get paid that fourth quarter, right? And so then look, when we're going to look at this graphic, and we're going to pop up this graphic. I'm talking about Harden had 0 points in game 5, 6, and 7 versus Boston. Julius Randle, 6 fourth quarters, 6 of them in the postseason with 2 points or less. Joel Embiid, we talked about it a bunch, 2 points in game 7. Giannis, 2 for 13 in 2 fourth quarters versus Miami. This guy, a lot of people think, is the best player on the planet. I'm one of them. And then Davis, he's had 4 fourth quarters with only 2 points. Davis, the only one left. And we bring all that up to talk about Jason Tatum. Humbly, one of the best players in the world. This is his own words. And watch, he's just standing around. He's not doing anything. He's not getting any activity. If you saw the beginning of this, he was the screen and roll guy. So here, watch this. He leads off. Now, Jason Tatum had 30. He didn't have a bad game, Perk.
But check this out. They're pushing the pace. Okay, Jaylen Brown don't have anything. Just look at him.
Watch him.
Al Horford shoots a three. Get his own offensive rebound.
4 minutes to go.
Okay, look. So he's asking for the ball way over here. This is a tough pass. And Al Horford.
Oh, and Jimmy on it. Jimmy on it.
Like, when you're standing around, the Jason Tatum I know would have been cutting down the lane with force.
Yeah, so look, when we talk about all of these great players, these are the best players in the world. So to see him struggle in the fourth quarter, and we've seen it a bunch this postseason, Jason Tatum is just the latest victim. But at the end of the day, like he said, humbly, he's one of the best players in the world, and that is 100% true. They just need to get him the ball in the fourth quarter so he can show it again. You mean give himself a ball.
If he can take some of those notes into game 2. All right, let's get to the WNBA, because we actually have 4 games to open the season on Friday, starting with the Sun against the Fever, also the Liberty visiting the Mystics, and then the Sky against the Lynx. We're going to wrap it up with Phoenix Mercury against the Sparks. That game is on ESPN. Last year's champion, Las Vegas, will open the season, though, without their head coach, Becky Hammon. She has been suspended for 2 games following an investigation that found the Aces violated league rules regarding impermissible player benefits and workplace policies. The latter stemmed from comments Hammon made about De'Erica Hamby. Take a listen to Hammon.
I don't recall my relationship with Hamby being anything but on the up and up. And I'm just obviously, along with the organization and everything, disappointed with the findings. But, you know, we're looking forward to kind of putting the whole thing behind us. To have your name kind of be associated with something like that, which, you know, is not who you are as a person. It's not how I operate. I handled De'Erica with care from day one when she told me. And she knows that. And like I said, once I make the phone call that the decision's been made to move her, you know, that's when everything kind of fell apart.
So again, this stemmed from comments Hammon made to De'Erica, allegedly in connection to her pregnancy. And in addition to Becky Hammon's suspension, the WNBA also rescinded the Aces' 2025 first-round pick for promises of impermissible benefits during contract extension negotiations with Hamby. Still to come on NBA Today, we're going to keep it in the W. The 27th WNBA season kicks off tomorrow. We have Commissioner Kathy Engelbert here to tell us everything we need to know about this upcoming season. Plus, game 2.
Ooh.
In the Mile High City. Can AD and LeBron slow down Jokic tonight?
I don't know. If you listen to Mike Malone, you guys got to start really listening to Mike Malone and seeing how he operates. You guys got to listen. Let's see if he gave a little bulletin board material.
Well, Richard, did you see the video also that Giannis posted? I mean, of course he did, Perk, because he's on TikTok literally all the time. Oh. Do not miss that. We're coming up next.
Oh, the villain era. I like his villain era.
One of those corny dad jokes.
I love the dad joke.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And this season has come up aces.
This is just the beginning.
Oh, here I come. Oh, here I go. Oh, I'm on the road. I got some.
We haven't seen free agency like this in the WNBA before. Candace Parker is heading to Vegas.
I called my mom and I was like, Mom, it's real now. Like, I'm here.
She's on the court. She's back.
I'm really looking forward to this evening, honestly.
You ready?
Welcome back to NBA Today. Ahead of the WNBA season getting underway, we are joined by Commissioner Kathy Engelbert. Kathy, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us here on NBA Today, because there is so much to be excited about with the W this year. But I want to start here. Brittany Griner, she is set to play in her first regular season game since her detainment in Russia. And as the commissioner of this league, seeing how the entire country really rallied behind her, what do you hope that this season holds for her?
Yeah, we're so thrilled to have her back playing the game that we know she loves. It weighed so heavily on the players and the whole league, including myself last year. We're excited to see her back. She's using her platform to advocate, you know, for the Bring Our Families Home campaign for other wrongfully detained Americans. So just really proud of her, where she is, how she got herself back into physical condition to play, you know, at a very high level, which is what the WNBA is.
It was such a joy to see the smile on her face, see her back on the court in the preseason. One topic of discussion, Kathy, over the last several days, weeks, has been the first pick in the 2021 draft. Charlie Collier joined a long list of pretty big name players that have been cut from rosters in recent days ahead of the season. Players in the NBA, players in the W, they've called to expand rosters to 14, maybe add more franchises to the league. What are you looking at to fix this?
Well, first, it's no secret that it's really hard to make a WNBA roster. And I think it's a good conversation to be having. There's over 300 Division I women's programs. And obviously, we're a league of 12 teams, 144 players. So some of the best basketball out there in the world for women's basketball. And we're hitting a big momentum point. And you know we're talking about expansion of teams. So when you're only in a country of 330 million people with only 12 teams, we were just up in Canada last weekend with our first ever Canada game, had 20,000 people at the game. So I think the time is right. We were coming off two COVID years. Now it's time. We've done some transformation of the economics of a league. We want new owners to come in and be successful, and that'll add, you know, multiple roster spots over the next few years.
We look forward to seeing that. One thing that we discussed a little bit earlier in the show is Las Vegas Aces champion head coach Becky Hammon. She was suspended for the first two games of the season. The franchise lost a future draft pick for violating league respect in the workplace policies over treatment of De'Erica Hamby. What went into this decision here, Commissioner?
Well, we did a thorough investigation after we received allegations from De'Erica back in January. We had two former prosecutors, one from the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York and one from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, who have a lot of experience. They interviewed over 30 people. They reviewed text messages, emails, kind of an independent review, thorough investigation to come to the conclusions we came to around both the draft pick and Becky's suspension.
And Hammond vehemently denies that there was any wrongdoing, but also says that she would never want to leave a player feeling the way that De'Erica felt. What were your conversations with her?
I think, you know, again, I let the lawyers do their work and get all the facts to us at the league office. And so, you know, we'll be talking with all of our teams, all of our coaches, with our respect in the workplace policies around the sensitivity, especially in a women's league. Really important to tailor those trainings to make sure everybody understands discussions that are held one-on-one with players or with a player group, you know, have to be in compliance with our policies.
Okay, let's talk about the season a little bit, because the formation of two super teams, the Aces, the Liberty, I mean, fans are excited. I'm excited. But you, what are you most looking forward to here?
Well, part of our strategy since I came in was to build household names and rivalries, and whether it's the two super teams in New York and Vegas, and, you know, just with all the free agency movement that occurred. But there's also some up-and-coming teams with a lot of young talent and a lot of great talent, and Lena Deladon is back at full tilt. Yeah. So I think there's going to be a lot of teams to watch. I think there's going to be a lot of parity in the league this year, and it'll be interesting to watch, you know, some of this play out. You still need chemistry on teams, whether you have a super team or not, and so it'll be interesting to see it all play out.
Parity is when things get incredibly fun. We've obviously seen that in the NBA. I look forward to seeing it in the W this season. Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today.
Thanks, Malika. Take care.
Appreciate you. Still to come on NBA Today, we're just a few hours away from Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Have the Lakers made enough adjustments to stop Jokic? Perk has some thoughts.
Plus, D. Wade and his son Zaire sit down with Mark Spears to talk about a special moment when they found out Dwayne would be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And our free agency is only 1 month away, but why not start now? Perk has a hot take on who should stay and who should go this offseason.
Ooh.
NBA Today will be right back.
Nice work, Rich.
Thank you.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Jokic, a three-pointer. It's good. Nikola Jokic continues his assault. Jokic, another rebound. And the putback.
That spin move was tough.
Jokic just gets it off in time. It's up. Oh, it's good. Of course it goes in.
He is showing the entire package.
With all that's gone on with this spectacular play from Jokic, the Lakers showing poise, then showing fight. Raised from downtown. It's a three-point game. Here comes Morris. Alley-oop to Gort. And back to six. That'll do it. The Nuggets survive the comeback and win game one.
The Nuggets, they stave off an impressive late surge by the Lakers in game one. Our reporters, Dave McMenamin, Om Young Masuk in Denver, reporting on both sides ahead of game two. And Dave, I want to start with you here. We talked a lot about the battle of the big men coming into this, Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic. But what is Anthony Davis's mindset coming into this game two?
Well, Malika, on Tuesday, Anthony Davis spoke with accountability for his role on the defensive end. He leads all postseason players in rebounds per game at 13.8, leads them all in blocks per game at 3.2, but he recognized that he needs to be better against this Denver front line that has the 6'11 Joker, the 6'10 Michael Porter Jr., and the 6'8 Aaron Gordon. He said, that's why they pay me the big bucks. He sounded like Kendrick Perkins. He needs to figure it out. And he said, if he's the primary defender on Joker, obviously that comes with an assignment of staying alert at all times because he can score or pass. But if he's roaming and Rui Hachimura is the guy on the ball, he needs to be cognizant of Aaron Gordon getting lobs and hitting the offensive glass. The Nuggets had 15 offensive rebounds in game one against the Lakers and out-rebounded the Lakers overall by 17. So Anthony Davis is on high alert to try to clean up those areas.
Well, the Lakers, though, David, and you know this better than anyone being around them every game, they have been a really big bounce-back team this postseason. Why is it that they go from a loss and then are seemingly at their best?
Well, Malika, one, you got to give credit to the Lakers coaching staff of watching the game film, finding the ways where they can improve, and then distilling that message in a very easy fashion to their group so they know what to concentrate in the bounce back scenario. The Lakers are 4-0 coming off of losses this postseason, averaging winning by 25 points per game. And Malika, you get to go back to March 17th, more than 2 months in the calendar since they've lost two games in a row. So certainly that should give them a deal of confidence going into tonight.
It also should make things interesting. Dave, thank you so very much. I want to bring Ohm back into this conversation because I mentioned this, Ohm. The Lakers, they got it down to a single possession near the end of that game. But how concerned are the Nuggets that the Lakers actually figured out something to bring into this game too?
Malika, the Nuggets were asked a lot of questions yesterday about adjustments they have to make to the Lakers. So even though the Nuggets are up 1-0 in this series, Michael Malone seemed amused that the narrative following game one was that the Lakers may have found something to slow down Nikola Jokic.
Much is being made of them putting Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic like we've never seen that before. There's this kind of discussion being based that, like, even though the Lakers lost, you know, they're walking out of here last night like they think they've got something. I'll bet you every red penny I have that Darvin Ham would rather be up 1-0 than down 0-1.
Malika, the Nuggets say they've seen this coverage many times before, as recently as last month in the first round against Minnesota, which allowed Rudy Gobert to roam in the paint, put a smaller defender on Nikola Jokic, and they say even against Philadelphia, when they put P.J. Tucker against Jokic to allow Embiid to roam, you know that Jokic will find a way to adapt.
All right, but let's talk about the adjustments that we expect from the Denver Nuggets here, because that's what game two is all about. And sometimes it's harder for the team that is up 1-0, like Michael Malone said, to make those adjustments. What are you expecting from the Nuggets?
Malika, I asked Michael Malone, what do you need to see and want to see when Rui Hachimura is on Nikola Jokic? And he said, first of all, we need to run. They scored 19 fast break points in game one. 17 came in the first half when they were dominating, only two after halftime. He says if we're able to run and score, the Lakers will not be able to set up their defense. Number two, I think they're going to probably have to figure out how to move Aaron Gordon around, not keep him in the dunker position, which they like to do, or even when they like to keep him there in the dunker position off of screens from Jokic. And number three, I think Michael Porter Jr. probably has to be a little more involved to spread out the perimeter and draw AD out. I will say this, though. You know Nikola Jokic is like a genius. I talked to Draymond Green last year about facing him. He said this was the biggest challenge facing Nikola Jokic other than LeBron James or trying to match wits with him in a chess game. So you know Jokic is going to figure it out.
Thank you. Game two tonight at 8:30 Eastern right here on ESPN. All right, you just heard from Michael Malone. He seems confident, right? Denver's going to be able to handle the Lakers' adjustments. But Perk, I'm curious. I know you have an eye on the big men tonight. What are you expecting from Anthony Davis?
Well, it's not just Anthony Davis. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I heard Caldwell Pope comments. And LeBron James, you should feel disrespected by his comments. And I get it. Jokic's resume longer than the Chick-fil-A line when you think about his MVPs and being one of the most skilled centers to ever play the damn game of basketball. But we're talking about arguably the greatest player to ever touch the basketball in LeBron James. And their names should never be in the same sentence. So if I'm Bron, I'm feeling some type of way. AD, I don't want to hear about adjustments. I don't want to hear about how good of a job Rui did. And when they took you off the ball, you was able to roam. You are the best defensive player in this postseason, in the league. Take on the challenge. Didn't LeBron say that his jersey is going to be hanging in the Raptors? Well, this is how you make sure that it get up there, by taking on this challenge and taking it personal. I'm not saying you're going to stop Jokic, but at least make it tough. Don't rely on your teammates to go out there and get the job done. You go out there and handle the business. Period.
Well, okay, so let's correct some of the things that Perk says. One, like LeBron, listen, watch it, bro. Listen, when anybody compared to anybody, Bron should be, you know, annoyed, unless it's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, unless it's that class. Now, as far as Jokic, we can establish here that the best defender in the world, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's Giannis, They can't guard him one-on-one because the one-on-one, he'll give you 50. He'll give you a triple-double assist. I'm sorry. We're sitting here, and I'm talking about purely offensively. He is the best player on the planet. There is no answer for Jokic. And so the biggest worry that the Lakers should have is that Anthony Davis had one of his on games, because Anthony Davis has been on a little subpar. On a little subpar. So if you get an on game from Anthony Davis and he gives you 40 and 10 and you lose that game, that's something you should be worried about. As far as adjustments, I've said up here before and said, who is going to guard Jokic? The reason why I said that is because we know that there was going to be matchup problems for him, because you put a small on him, he will eat him alive. You put a big on him, you see the threes that he's shooting over a 7-foot contest. You see the playmaking that he can make from the elbow. He is the biggest matchup problem on the offensive end currently right now in this league, and I think it's going to be the same thing. Who is going to guard him this year?
That's fine, but you could make it hard on him. He don't have to walk into threes. I believe that Anthony Davis is faster than Jokic. He's more quick.
More athletic.
He can actually put more pressure on him. And then another thing, let me explain why I said Anthony Davis needs to accept the challenge. Jokic had 6 offensive rebounds for the game. All of them came in the first quarter. After that, he didn't have any more.
So he set the tone?
No, he set the tone. So that what I'm trying to say is, if he didn't have none for the rest of the game, then that means Anthony Davis needed to show up to the party at the start of the game and accept the challenge.
No, I don't disagree with what
you
said. Calm down. Watch it, bro. What I'm expressing to the world at home, the entire thing that you're going to match, and the reason why you don't want Anthony Davis on Jokic is that you're more worried about foul trouble. Because if Anthony Davis gets in trouble, while gets in foul trouble, that's going to be a big problem.
And that's where the Rui piece comes into the equation, and that's what Michael Malone is saying. It's not like we haven't seen these types of look before. I just want to clarify the KCP comments. You're talking about when he said he doesn't see the same spark in LeBron James. They look like they're playing pickup basketball.
That was one of them. I'm talking about, he said, when he talked about Jokic and Bron, he said the only thing that Bron do better, different than Jokic, is that he jump high.
I'm not going to argue with that too much.
They shouldn't be even in the same conversation.
Have you seen his historic numbers?
I've seen it.
Tonight in game 2. My friends, coming up here on NBA
LeBron
Today.
James.
Hall of Fame inductee Dwayne Wade and his son Zaire sat down with Mark Spears, also a Hall of Famer, to talk about basketball Africa League playoffs and so much more. We'll be right back with that conversation.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
The Basketball Africa League playoffs, they begin this weekend in Rwanda with the top 8 BAL teams competing. And on Saturday, Mali will play South Africa in the quarterfinals. And there's a name that you might recognize on the roster. Zaire Wade, the son of Dwayne Wade. He's going to make his postseason debut in the BAL with the Cape Town Tigers. So here's Anscape senior writer Mark Spears, who spoke with the father and son ahead of the playoffs.
Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade, Zaire Wade, welcome to NBA Today. How y'all doing out in Egypt?
We're doing well out here. I'm doing well. How you doing out here?
Good. We living, working.
Yeah. Well. Let's start with Zaire first. Zaire, you're it's one thing for your dad to go to your high school game or a G League game, but to see him walk into your game in Africa, man, what was that feeling like?
They walked in, right on the tip of the bird. So I was trying to keep my composure at the same time. But I had a direct view towards them walking in. So just different emotions, man. Just from, obviously I haven't seen my family in a few months.
How was it for you, Dwayne?
I think what Z said, we haven't seen each other in a few months. And I've been with this guy for 21 years. So when you in that time apart, you miss each other in so many ways. So I just wanted to get my eyes on my son. And so if you see when I walked in, I know him, and so I know he's seen this, but I know he was trying to focus, but I was just looking at him let's go.
So Zaire, tell me how the Basketball Africa League opportunity came about.
It came about during a long stretch of keeping our heads down and working. We spent 10 months, me, my pops, Uncle Chris Johnson, we just spent 10 months straight after the G League season ended, just working. And, just trying to find other things or other opportunities. And once the BAL Combine presented itself, we started narrowing our focus down that.
Mark, let me jump in on that.
And, you know, when you're a young kid and you're being told no at every turn, or, you know, you're being told no, period, you know, we know one thing in this game is you need one person to fall in love with your style of play. So it's hard to get up every day, to wake yourself up every day to work out not once, not twice, but three times a day to prepare for something that you can't see. And he was prepared because he worked and you know, he prepared himself to be able to go to Paris, to get ready to go to that combine, and to show people that he's a better player than he was the last time you've seen him.
Where do you think the Basketball Africa League is now, and what do you see for the future in terms of its importance to the continent?
This is an amazing opportunity for a lot of kids to continue to chase their dreams. And so we're thankful for this league, we're thankful for this platform, and we're thankful for Cape Town. As a family, we just want to make an impact. Zaire obviously want to make an impact as a basketball player. But like you said, we want to make an impact in the community of Africa as well. So it's a lot of work to be done. We're thankful to be one of the first ones to be a part of this very young league.
Wade with a steal, with two. Wade puts it up for the win. Yeah, baby. He's got it. Dwayne Wade with the steal and the game winner.
So Zaire, I mean, it was inevitable, but when you got the official news that your dad was making it to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, man, how did that hit you?
Man, so I think for me, he's always been in my, well, he's been in my Hall of Fame since I could remember, you know what I'm saying? So me and my siblings, my sisters, like, we're so used to looking at pops as like a father first. And sometimes that has nothing to do with on the court. So may not be thinking about those stuff, but when the accolades are put in front of you and presented, it's just like surreal because now I'm in the professional world and I know how hard it is just to, I'm trying to just, you know what I'm saying, just take another step up. That respect factor just continues to grow on and off the court. Just everything he says, I never brush it out. I just take it and try to apply it the best I can.
Dwayne, how's the speech writing going for Hall of Fame, man? And how much more are you excited as each day gets closer to it?
The speech is not coming along very well right now. I got speech block. And I just been trying to take it day by day. Like, I don't want that day to come fast. Like let August 11th and 12th take a lot of time to come. Because once the day comes, then it's over. And so I want to enjoy the steps to get there. I want to sit in this moment and appreciate the vulnerability that I feel because the reflection that I'm having. But I'm just very thankful. I'm not just thankful for the work that I put in, but I'm very thankful for everyone who put in my path to help me get to this place.
And my last question is for Zaire. Zaire, what is the best thing you've eaten in Africa that was unique and different? And what's the one thing that you're like, man, I ain't eating that?
The one thing I definitely not eaten is the beef livers.
We had chicken liver yesterday.
it's reading the beef liver. I can't, like, it's been like, but definitely no beef livers for me.
All right. Zaire Wade, Dwayne Wade, thank you very much.
And thank you as well, Mark Spears. So joining Dwayne Wade in this year's Hall of Fame class, we have Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker, Pau Gasol, Becky Hammon, Greg Popovich, among others. You can see the full list here on your screen. Congratulations to all the inductees, including our very own Holly Rowe and Mark Spears. Coming up here on NBA Today, there are some big names who could hit the free agency market this summer. It's never too early. So we're going to dive into that next on NBA Today.
Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh my God.
Every year you work towards something, towards a goal. It's not a failure, it's steps to success. There's always steps to it. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful, some days you're not. Some days it's your turn, some days it's not your turn. And that's what sports is about. You don't always win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Similar as that, we're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits. Hopefully, we can win a championship.
So, a disappointing end to the season for Giannis and the Bucks. They fell to the Heat in 5 games. Why are you making that face?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's Friday. I'm excited.
Fine. That was over 3 weeks ago. It's Thursday. Yeah. It kind of feels like a Friday.
Every day is Friday. Every day is Friday.
Did you see, though, the video that Giannis posted?
Yeah, I saw it.
All right. Well, for anyone at home who didn't Take a listen.
Here we go.
Well, please come to the Warriors. Somebody said, please come to the Warriors. Hey. Hey. Hey, man.
I like it. Him and Steph straight up, that would be a good, like, a
okay.
good trade.
All right. All right. Oh, Giannis no, is not a free agent. Oh. So we're just going to put a pin in that one, and we're going to look at some people who actually are potential free agents who could hit the market in July. Take a look at these key names. It could be on the move. Kyrie Irving, D'Angelo Russell, Russell Westbrook, Brooke Lopez are among the unrestricted free agents. James Harden, Draymond Green, Fred VanVleet, Chris Middleton, they have player options. So at least two key bucks. Not talking about Giannis here, could test the market. Like I said, Chris Middleton has a player option. Brooke Lopez is an unrestricted free agent. So, Richard, I ask you.
Yeah.
Should I stay or should I go
now?
No,
don't do that. Were we asking about Draymond?
No.
Were we asking?
I was asking about Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez.
Oh, both those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, they should stay. I don't think the Milwaukee Buck window is closed. Not till Giannis gets traded for Steph. Is that what he was referencing? Like a Steph and him trade?
No, go on, play with Steph.
Oh, playing with Steph. Okay, yeah. Until that happens, and I think, look, their window is not closed, and I think that's part of the reason why a coaching change is they understand how small their window might be becoming if Giannis does become a free agent. So they were like, hey, let's not just keep running this back. Let's switch it up.
He's under contract, Giannis is, for the next three seasons.
Yeah,
it would stand that you would want to bring those guys back in order to continue to build.
Oh, because if you don't, Giannis
is
gone.
Well, he's a player option in September.
Well, I'm saying you got to extend these guys or else Giannis is out.
Especially with Brooke Lopez. Though, I mean, the way him and Giannis
one-on-one.
Work together is a beautiful thing.
Well, since you already brought up Draymond Green, let's also talk about him because he has a player option. He said on his podcast that he wants to go roll out with the same guys he rolled in on, stay or go.
Oh, he should stay, 100%. Draymond's important.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Draymond's got a player option. I think if they're not going to extend him, I think he could be a free agent after this year. And I like that because you're going to get the best version of Draymond. The Warrior window is not closed. They won the championship. They had a tough year this year, up and down. Next year, you retool, you tweak some things, maybe bring in some veterans instead of some of the young guys that you got, and then you keep it pushing.
I don't know how much money the Lakers got, but if I'm Draymond, I'm trying to get to L.A., and if I'm L.A., I'm trying to get Draymond Green. Can you imagine?
Yes.
The tandem between him and AD? That would be one of the best defensive tandems ever.
Well, Golden State doesn't want to imagine that because if Draymond leaves, they only have a veteran minimum to replace him, and that's...
These cap rules, you guys haven't really dug.
Well, they did it to themselves.
I agree. People, there's good and bad to it, but these cap rules, when you start hearing about these $600 million, $300 million
the reality
tax,
starts to set in
The reality hadn't set in yet. Wait till you start hearing these tax bills. They start sounding like the national deficit.
All right, but last but certainly not least. How about Kyrie Irving, Kendrick Perkins?
Philadelphia. Daryl Moore, if you want to do right by Joel Embiid, it is not James Harden. Go get Kyrie Irving, but you got to make sure you have the right coach. If you could get Kyrie Irving alongside Joel Embiid and manage to keep Tyrese Maxey, that would be everything. Kyrie Irving would have delivered what James Harden didn't do. When you talk about being one of the best closers in the game, taking over the fourth quarter, that's him. No matter what he has done
financially,
outside.
Financially, though, his best option is to stay in Dallas.
Yeah, but, I mean, Kyrie done made a bag. I mean, Philly could give him something. They could try to unload Tobias Harris. I don't know how this cap thing works, but I just know this.
Well, guess
Kyrie and Embiid will be a problem.
We have 60 seconds break coming up, and we can go over some of the cap space rules. We'll be back in 60. We have game two of the Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Nuggets tonight at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. The Countdown crew, they get things started at 7:30 Eastern. So we've spent a fair amount of time today not doing that, but discussing Anthony Davis, discussing Rui Hachimura, discussing the various looks to put on Nikola Jokic. And in the break, we all got up, we went over to the court, and we were working some things out. Richard, we were talking about the difference between Rui and AD.
What kind of defense is that?
That's not the correct defense.
No, come on.
See, and this is what I was trying to explain.
Let me set it up really quickly. Really quickly, and I got you, because he's a big foul. See, I like the defense right there. You got the hand, but you don't want to get lifted up on him, because the minute he gets lifted up, he is a master of body movement and body understanding.
Well, let's take it to this block. So, Malika, you could be the Passover on this wing. As one of the best post defenders to ever play the game, Kobe Bryant said it himself, you have to make Jokic work. You're not going to stop him, so you got to deny a little bit, force him out. And as he catch it, listen, it's two things you could do. You could play bent arm, take the hit with your chest, or you could play elbow, right? And one arm, and you could take the hit. I like to play bent arm and take away the middle, take the hit with my chest. If he goes around for his turnaround, I'm there to contest. You live with it. The way AD was playing was this. This is not John Calipari in Kentucky. You cannot hold ground like this, AD. You cannot let
feeling like Moses Malone versus.
What are you doing?
But I have a question. So you were saying, so Rui was getting into him like this. Back. Hand.
Yeah, back in hand.
So my question is, can you control? Because I've never been in this position with an NBA guy. When someone's backing up into you like this, can you have a little bit more control?
Oh yeah, let me get back there and show the bigger. Because first of all, what you don't want to do against him is you don't want to lean.
Right.
Once you lean, what you gonna do, Perk? Once you lean, it's a spin. You're dead. You also don't want to get too straight up and down. This is what I'm saying. Old NBA, you see it less. You see a lot of guys showing their hands, taking with their chest.
Right.
You're allowed that bent arm, and you're also allowed a hand. So that means that hand you can grip. Guys get dirty. They'll start pinching. I got a lot of cushion here. They can start pinching. No, guys will pinch you. Guys will grab you. Yeah. They will do all that. Can you even feel that, bro?
Man, shut up.
Well, you know, because you were a referee. But I'm just so.
But
this
you're allowed
is the thing
that.
You're
but you want this top foot up. You want to take away middle. And you want to get a low gravity base, like get low so you can have power.
Because if you get into someone's chest, I got you. If I'm in your chest, you could say I'm going to try and take a charge, but Jokic is not burling
block,
it down. He's trying to take,
and,
like, just shorty, bit, short,
and,
short
and to
burst.
Be honest with you, he's getting 8 or 9 dribbles because people are scared to help.
It's hard
to guard somebody with 8 or 9 dribbles, but you got to put some type of restraint on.
Yeah, I just, look. Anthony Davis is one of the great defenders because of his talent. I think there's a little bit more that he can give. We saw there when he had the ball, Jokic had the ball here. Anthony Davis got up in him, and then he ripped through. Stay low. Stay in your base. If he shoots, contest late. Because Jokic is probably as good of a player I've ever seen in my life, is if you lean one way, he's gone. If you get lifted up, he's gone.
So who you got tonight? Because that's who you're watching for.
Oh, I think I got Denver winning the series.
I got the Lakers tonight.
Denver winning the series.
I've yet to be wrong.
No show tomorrow. We'll see you, Monday.
I've yet to be wrong.